NFL fans, there's a new way to watch your favorite teams.
Feliz Navidad.
What a day for some football, baby.
On December the 25th at 5 p.m. GMT, the Christmas games will stream live on Netflix.
And it's good!
Your Christmas day will be complete with the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens versus Houston Texans live on Netflix. You won't want to miss it.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You having a nice day? Having a nice Friday?
Yeah, it's Friday. You know, we've got more problematic Southern men on TV and some new women to worry about and call the police about on Southern Charm. Say, please guard this person because these men are about to use this woman and spit her out, okay? Please get to Charleston and help a girl named Molly who already seems like she's on the goddamn brink, okay? Please get over there and help this woman.
Help her. Yeah, we're talking about
so I feel good.
This.
Southern Charm is on, so I'm in neighborhood watch mode. Party! It's my favorite. And I can just sit at my window eating popcorn and looking for bad people so I can call the police.
Yeah. Yeah, we are back. It's a new season of Southern Charm. We've got the premiere that we're going to recap in just a moment. In case you are just tuning in today, because you were not listening to the Real Housewives content, we are going back out on tour. It's the Mounting Hysteria Tour. It's starting in 2025. It's starting next month in January. We're going all across North America. Many, many dates over the first few months of the year. And real quickly, let me just tell you some of the cities, and then we'll get on into it. But we're going to San Francisco, San Diego, New York City for the Golden Crappies. Don't want to miss that. Salt Lake City, Denver, Cincinnati, Minneapolis, Toronto, Charlotte, Atlanta, D.C., Philadelphia, Boston, Detroit, Chicago, Austin, and Dallas. We are hoping to add in some more cities. If you don't hear your city, like, you know, there's a chance that it will get added at a later date. But we are really excited, and go to watchforcrappins.com to get tickets. We are hoping to see a whole bunch of familiar faces that we've gotten to know on the road over the past few years, and new faces as well. And tell your friends and family, and tell anyone you want to tell. Tell your pets. Bring your pets. I don't care. But we will see you there on the road.
Do it. Also, Sold on SLC is a new Bravo show that we're doing exclusively on Patreon. So go over there to listen to that recap. It's fun. And that's also where you get videos, which we're on right now. So hi, and welcome back, Southern Charm people who only listen to Southern Charm. We've missed you, okay? We're hotter than ever. Okay, so let's start with a new season of Southern Charm. Let's see what Shep is lying about this year about making himself Shep version 10.0, because this is season 10. It's all a lie. Don't fall for it. Shep has done nothing to help himself but go away and do drugs for 4 days. So don't believe him.
No. Hey, I've grown. I went down to South America and tried ayahuasca, and now I've had visions. I'm healed.
Gosh, golly, I'm just a man.
So here we go. We start at Madison and Brett's home. You know, God bless Madison for having enough charisma to pull this off, because this man is like dating a coaster. He's like not a roller coaster, like a tea coaster, just a coaster that sits there. And you're like, why is there a coaster on this table? He's so boring, and it's like so cute, but literally looks like an unanimated Lego person.
Oh, ouch.
He's so cute, but like, does he ever talk or move or do anything?
just a classic, a Lego classic, Lego person classic, just not moving, just there. I get that.
Because, you know, when you see a Lego movie or something, they're so cute. And it's like, oh, my God, they have so much charisma. But then you see them in the stores and you're like, oh, how'd you ever become popular? Like, you don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a classic, hot guy, not always a lot in terms of the personality. But he is there and they are cooking breakfast together. And he's like, what else do you want me to do? And she's like, just sit there and look pretty. Be born for corn, And then they hug and stuff.
So then we go to Shep's house. It is time for the annual Shep in the shower scene. Nobody wants to see this, okay?
No.
Every year, Shep needs to get naked for the camera. Now, this time he is kind of a V because he's been working out. So that's great.
Yeah.
Put it away, boy.
Oh, those buttocks. Those buttocks are out once again. And then we go over to Taylor's house, and she's FaceTiming with her boyfriend, Gaston. And Gaston, we heard about on two separate shows last year, Southern Charm and Southern Hospitality. So Gaston has been making the rounds, but now he's finally arrived on TV. So she's FaceTiming with Gaston, and she tells him his haircut looks nice. And he's like, with the hat on?
Yeah, because he's wearing a baseball cap. She's like, your hair looks good, which is so Taylor. And I can't with a man this thirsty. First of all, he's trying to get on two shows at one time. And second of all, his parents named him Gaston. I mean, I know that means I should hate his parents. And I know there's people in the world named Gaston that don't have anything to do with Beauty and the Beast. But he does. You know that he was named. His mom got pregnant in the back lot of a Cinemark and named him Gaston. I can't. Sorry.
I just need to know who's naming their children Gaston these days. That's all I want to know. I want to know the thought process. I want the behind the actor studio on the name Gaston in 2024.
There are girls with really oily hair and Mickey Mouse ears tramp stamped onto their lower back.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then we go to Austin's house. It's insane right now. He's picking up an outfit and Craig comes in. And he's saying he's concerned Shep won't have a hairdryer's house. Because what we find out is that they're going for like a brocation at Shep's country house or something. So his family house. So he's worried that there won't be a blow dryer at Shep's house. Which I think is a fair concern. I don't think that there will be one there. That is correct.
Yeah. And or a comb, really.
Or anything pertaining to hygiene.
Or any people from the family actually doing any work. It will be straight up, indentured servants at this point.
Garsh dance. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they're not allowed to say anything.
Yeah, they're going to go out there. And Austin's like, when I go on road trips with Craig, Craig always drives. Like, if I'm an amateur psychologist, it's probably a control thing. First of all, get some control and put your tongue in your mouth. How is your tongue still out of your mouth after all these years? Learn to control it. Go to a class. You know what I mean? Put your tongue in your mouth, sir.
It's because you drive your car by using your tongue to control the stick shift. Craig is like, I'm not going to abide by this any longer.
And it's because whenever he drives, the windshield wipers keep coming on because they sense the spit hitting the window.
Craig has a much simpler reason that has nothing to do with psychology. He's like, I'm always driving because my friends are always drunk.
Right.
So that explains a lot. Although, is Craig not drunk? Although I guess he says he's not drinking anymore, but like, Craig definitely has put in some time being pretty drunk driving those golf carts around Charleston.
And then Craig pulls away with the trunk open and goes the wrong way down a one-way road, which just goes to show you being sober doesn't necessarily make you smarter, okay? Sometimes it just makes you smell less like Bartles and James.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing? Do people still drink Bartles and James?
I don't think so, but I'd like that you keep it alive by mentioning it every so often. Because I remember those commercials. There was like the chubby guy and the tall guy, right? And they had like a deadpan delivery. It's a great commercial, and I love them. But either way, Craig is a terrible driver. No one's really a good driver on this show. I feel like every single season, someone's getting into a fender bender, right? I feel like it's even in the trailer this season for Patricia. Even Patricia crashes her car this week. I mean,
they don't care. That's what happens when you're like rich and you've got like history in a town. The company's, the police are just like, go ahead. I knew your dad. All right.
I also feel like they do their driving tests on horse-drawn carriages in Charleston. They're like, all right, parallel park. So they're just used to different vehicles.
So then we go to JT and Vanita. Okay, this season's going to trigger me. I'm telling you right now. I can already tell. This was a pretty tame episode, but I was getting triggered left and right. This is really going to bother me, this JT and Vanita thing. I can't take it. I already can't take it. Why are you debasing yourself like this, Vanita? I get that you want to be on a TV show. I get that they probably told you you need to actually do something this year besides have a pretend boyfriend in another city. I get it. This is not the thing to do. Please, anything else. Rob a bank. I mean, I don't care. Trip an old person and get in trouble. You know, slap somebody. Throw a drink on somebody. You know, start a fight. I do not care. But dating JT is where I draw the line.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating watching JT's downward spiral this season because, in case you missed it, he officially quit Southern Charm. He still had 2 weeks of pickups to do or two more interview sessions, which, by the way, really, sir, finish your job. Just do it, you know? I really enjoyed JT last season. I thought he was a great addition. But the one, I thought his most toxic trait last season was that there were some times where he thought his shit was more hilarious than it really was. And you could see he was really leaning into shtick, like the time he was flopping around in a river. And my fear, which I think has totally come true, is that this season, since he had a little bit of wind in his sails, he was just going to double down and all that stuff. Be like, people love this, right? So I think we're going to see him try to do that shit. It's not going to land, and he's going to just spiral out of control. And it'll be fascinating to watch.
So he also soft launched a new girlfriend who's not Vanita on Instagram right around the time that he had a fit and left. And then the girl's sister was like, what the fuck? And people are like, this isn't even his girlfriend. What is he doing? It's like announcing. And this is, I'm just reading this all from comments, so I have no idea what the truth is, but he's a disaster, this guy. So they go to a store to do some shopping because they, you know, there's that one store that they all go to. The guy, yes. Well, there's the Catherine store. What's that one called?
We call it Gwyn's, but it's, I don't even remember what it's really called.
It's Gwyn's.
Is it called Gwyn's?
It is Gwyn's.
Yeah, it's Gwyn's.
But we call the girl who works there Gwyn's, and that's not her name.
Yeah. This store is I say, and son's haberdashery.
Yeah, this is where you get your silk haberdasheries and your silk, what do you call those things that you put on your neck?
A cravat, an ascot. every single season they come in here to get a tuxedo blazer. I'm like, what are you guys doing with your tuxedo blazers? Why do you always need a new one? But they always come in here, and then that guy comes out and he's like, well, I say, is it time for a new blazer? And you're like, every single time. And then they have a whole scene,
and JT's limping in on a cane. And I love the South because they just openly make fun of people with canes. There's no line there where they're like, hey, you know, someone's with the cane. Maybe we shouldn't make fun of them. They're just like, what is the kind of part of the outfit? You damn Yankee. I never met your daddy. Where's he from?
And he's yet at the same time, the South is also where I feel like they really appreciate a cane with an outfit.
Well, that's true. Maybe he's not even making fun of it. Maybe he's just is that part of your outfit? I love that. You want to see mine? Hey, you want to have a cane fight? I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
I think you have to go through some cane hazing before it can be part of your outfit. So it's a little bit of both. A little, it's appreciation and ridicule. JT... JT, he tells a story. He's like, I went to Costa Rica and I'm going down the mountain in an ATV. And I'm like, I don't need to hear the rest of the story. I see you have a limp. You mentioned ATV. If you want any sympathy for me, you're not going to get it because I don't know how many people have to break their necks on ATVs before people have to realize, don't drive ATVs. You're stupid.
Yeah. Well, as someone who just got dragged down his own hill on his Vespa. And almost lost a leg. That was basically my story. JT was living my story, where I was just so embarrassed to even tell everybody. I'm like, oh my God, whatever. I slid down the hill. Let's not talk about it. Because you know people are just like, you idiot. I told you not to ride that thing. And that's what he's suffering from right now. And, you know, his stories, he's just so pathetic. And at this point, I'm wondering if he's just leaning into that part or if he just gets off on that. You know, like we were talking this week about somebody who's just into the apologizing part. So that's why they're mean to everybody, because they get off on apologizing. Who was that? It was just this week. It doesn't matter.
I just love
we were talking about like apology kinks. And now I think this guy has a being pathetic kink because.
It was Gary.
Gary on Below Deck Sailing. Yes. So this guy is really into just being pathetic and having people laugh at him, because he could have told a story like, I was on an ATV. I was in Costa Rica. I saw an animal. I swore I wanted to save that baby kangaroo. And I flipped over and I could have died. I almost lost a leg. And that's it. But instead, he tells this story. He's like, yeah, I was in Costa Rica. I was going down a mountain and I hit a little dirt drift, and then I, you know, projected pretty far down the side of a mountain, and I'm lying there on the ground and there's blood everywhere, and I look up and the ATV's rolling down and it pins my leg under it, and I'm trapped and I'm screaming and I'm like, am I going to lose a leg? That's where you should end it. So he goes, so I get to the doctor and he said, you're not going to die. And then we see a picture, and there's like barely even a bruise on his leg. There's no blood squirting everywhere. And then he goes, yeah, I guess it wasn't that bad, but it hurt. I was like, just end in the beginning. Why do you have this kink that you want us to mock you, dude?
A real reality star would have chopped off his own leg and told, you know, that's what you do. That's how you create a storyline, okay?
For another season.
You know? So Vanita's holding his cane and he's trying on clothes. Vanita's like, well, the first time JT and I bonded was when we were in Jamaica. And ever since then, we talk every day, which is kind of wild. But I feel like we're just really close. Also, he's the only one on this cast who seems to acknowledge that I'm on the show. So I just got to take what I can get.
Yeah. She's like, he's the only person that talks to me. So basically, I call him every day now. And then we see them bonding in Jamaica and they're sitting on the beach together. And they're like, wow, look, there's water. He's like, yeah, that's pretty watery. She's like, wow, can I have your number?
So JT's like, you can't teach chemistry or how to drive an ATV, apparently. So it's either there or it's not. Now, same goes for legs. Huh. And it's there. Yeah.
By the way, who wants to tell them that you can teach chemistry? There are literally chemistry teachers. I mean, I know the education system's gone downhill in this country, but it's literally a class.
My 10th grade teacher, Mr. Johnston, may want to have a word with you.
Mr. Johnston's whipping out his cane. He's like, oh, yeah, you want a piece of me, bitch? Get over here, cane bitch.
Well, I guess I just happened to figure out that you can create peppermint in a science lab. There was no teacher involved with that.
So JT says, for the Carolina Cup, I rented a party bus. Are you in? And she's like, yeah, I guess. And then he drops his cane. And she's like, now, how are you going to pick that up? And he's like, good call. I guess that was dumb. Oh, I guess I need help picking it up. God, this is hot.
So then Vanita picks it up and she's like, well, the Carolina Cup is technically a horse race, but it's really like a Lily Pulitzer fashion show. And all the girls have the biggest hats. I'm like, going to Starbucks in Charleston is a Lily Pulitzer fashion show. What thing on Southern Charm has not been that?
Yeah. So the producer's like, so do you have any memories from there? She's like, no.
She's like, I was too lit.
Well, season three, Vanita's really swinging for the rafters.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Lindsey Graham, host of Wondery's show American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history: presidential lies, environmental disasters, corporate fraud. In our latest series, entrepreneur Lou Pearlman becomes the mastermind behind two of the biggest pop groups in the world, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. He also oversees a sprawling business empire that includes a charter jet company, restaurants, and real estate. But Perlman's successful facade crumbles after he's sued by the boy bands for siphoning millions from them. And soon, investigators discover that Perlman is keeping his empire afloat through an even more devious scheme. Follow American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest seasons only on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with. Listen to the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we're talking about he has to see people, and it hasn't been since the reunion when he acted like a little jackass that he has to see anybody. So this, then we see his greatest clips from the reunion where he's like, I might be the first person to ever perform the first ever fuckboy exorcism. And everybody's like, oh God, only Vanita's laughing. Yeah.
This was, I forgot about this reunion. That's really where he squandered all the goodwill. Because you can go back, you can listen. I was a big JT booster. I mean, Lord knows he needs a little bit of a booster seat, doesn't he? But I was always like, you know, I really like this guy. I like that he stands up to Austin. It, maybe it's performative, but I still appreciate that he's doing it regardless. But the reunion is where he started to really lose me, because it was too much like... he was really like leading into some sort of character instead of just being real. And it's like you came in like potentially with like a winning hand. You stood up to Austin on a chair, but you stood up to him. And then you came in and you just sort of like ruined it.
Yeah.
Oh, JT.
And then what did you do, JT? And then what did you
and
do?
And then what?
Yeah. So they're talking about having to see people, and she's like, so are you going to speak to them? And he's like, well, I can't just be there and be like... not speak to him, so I'm going to think of something wacky to do. Maybe get some props.
Yeah. So JT is saying that, like, he's not thrilled. He wasn't thrilled with Austin's behavior last year. But he feels like the message really landed. His message really landed with Austin. I'm like, I guarantee you, no message has ever landed with Austin. In the history of messages.
Yeah. Austin's not listening to those messages.
No.
And it's so just... he's like, I just want to take the hot road here. You just crashed. You know what I mean?
don't get on the road. No roads. Stay literally on a low road.
He's like, I want to. You should be like, I want to take the bus here and say, hey, bad. I almost died. I don't care if you're toxic. I'm good now. And Vanita's like, yeah, life's too short. And he's like, yeah, ouch. Life is too short. No pun intended. You know, because the guy's really just not winning with turn of phrases today.
It's hard. It's really hard. So now we go to Austin and Craig in the car on the way to Shep's, I think. And Austin calls he has a new girlfriend named Audrey. She's a plant. It's really awkward. It's the strangest crossover I've ever saw. But they say hello, and Austin is like, hey, so I was just calling to check in on the drive. And she's like, yeah, hey, how much longer do y'all have? He's like, probably an hour 40. It's insane to drive. Shep wants us to meet him at his farmhouse. Dude, that's what we're going to do. It's insane.
And she's like, okay, have fun. Talk to you soon. Now, in a shocking development, Austin's new girlfriend looks like a child.
Yes.
And way out of his league at whatever age. He looks like he has, and I say this often about this cast, because this is the only cast that really looks like this. The cast of men, I mean. They really do look like in a murder show when somebody has been murdered and then thrown into the water and then left there for a week. And then you come back and they're just, their skin is all bloated and crazy. That's what they look like, except pink and orange instead of being white. And he does look like that. He looks pickled. And this girl looks like she's in high school. Now, I looked her up and she's only 11 years younger, which actually isn't that terrible. But he better cling to this show, because there is no way in hell an unemployed guy who still is trying to peddle beer that his dad bought him would ever get this girl.
No, no. And he's looking more and more like George Washington out of his wig. And I just don't understand why any of these girls are into it. If you really look at Austin, he really kind of has some George Washington going on.
That's funny.
Meets Fozzie Bear. He says, yeah, I met Audrey last summer. She lives in Charlotte. We've been officially dating for 3 months and officially been cheating on her for 2 months. So he says, you know, typically my move is just to be like, you know, hang out with someone a bunch and like not define it, because I'm like too chicken shit to say anything. But like with Audrey, like I'm like the, I'm like, I'm the one that actually brought up. So I was like, we should define the friend, the relationship. That's insane. I'm like, you don't get any trophies for doing the bare minimum in the bare minimum and expected step in a relationship when you've been seeing someone for 3 months. Like, congratulations, you did what everyone else does.
Yeah, but that's a big step for Austin because he never defines the relationship, right? So he's like, I define the relationship. So now I know who I am. Now I'm technically cheating on somebody, which is like a huge step for me. I can't say we were on a break. Now it's technically cheating, guys.
Well, he realized he could add something to his arsenal, which is that when he gets accused of being immature, he'd be like, what are you talking about? I was the one who said I wanted to be in a relationship in the first place. I do want this.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever.
I said it in a confessional where it really matters. So then we see a flashback to where Austin is talking to Audrey, and he's like, how's my little Pookie monster? And she's like, tired. And then they kiss, and that's the end. I'll bet she says that a lot. Hey, baby, how you feeling tonight? Tired. You want to make love? Tired. Can I get on top of you? Tired. Can I just breathe on you? Tired.
Can I get a what? Tired. You know what? He is exhausting, so I get it. And so then he goes, yeah, we have a lot of nicknames. There's Pooks. There's Pookie Monster. Pookapotamus. I'm like, maybe give her like a nickname that's like more flattering. He's like
Pookapotamus Monster.
Like
Pookie Dog. What is,
it's like Pooka Poop. I don't know.
Pooka Sloth.
Pookadillo.
Pooka Burger.
Pookanoceros.
Pooka Vomit.
Pooka feces.
Pooka fart.
Pooka sludge.
It's just so weird to tell people, like, hey, this is my girlfriend. This is my girlfriend, Audrey, because she still takes her lunch to school, you know? But for me, like, it's a big step. It's a big step. And then Craig's like, I love that we're just like right in the middle of fucking nowhere. I have a business.
I was like, yeah, we're on this road for 30 miles. I feel like everywhere is the middle of nowhere after you leave Charleston. I don't know. So, and we say that as people who did venture out of Charleston. So now we cut to Shep, and he's arriving at his family farm, and Tommy is there. He's the farm manager. He's like, oh, gosh, there's a race tomorrow. Hold on. I'm having an Ayugarshka vision. Tommy, you're in danger. You're going to spill coffee tomorrow. Sorry, I'm getting all these visions now that I've done ayahuasca. Anyway, Craig and Austin are on their way. Look at this. Oh, my God. What am I going to wear? A white linen suit. Check this out, Tommy. Tommy's like, I don't care.
Yeah, don't Tommy's care like, please pay me. Please pay me my $5 a week so I can go to bed. And Shep gives us the lowdown on this place, which, you know, if you're not feeling uncomfortable with this, you really haven't read history. But here's Shep. My family's farm is in Boykin, South Carolina, which is like a 1 minute drive to the Carolina Cup. Boykin is my family on my dad's side, so the town is named after them. Okay, so they've got a whole town named after the other side of his family. King George III granted the Boykins the land in 1780-something, so my dad has a deep connection and love for it. Do you even have to pay property taxes on it? This is not fair.
Isn't there a literal movie called The Madness of King George?
Literally.
Like, I feel like the moment that the King's Court realized he'd lost his mind, he's like, hello, everyone. I've given some land to a man who says Garsh all the time. Sir Garsh Garshington of Boykin, America.
Yeah. Like,
our king has lost it.
Were the Boykin family slave owners? Yes, they were. So there you go.
Yeah.
I guess you could like probably pick any family line on this show out. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we're all thinking. Like, yeah, I feel like there's more to this story, Shep. So
aren't we lucky we got gifted this in the 1780s? I'm like, yep, sure you built all of that yourself there. Looks great.
And what
your great grandpa did a great job building this house on his own. Sure he paid really fairly for labor over there.
Yeah.
Look at some papers.
Well, it's been in your family for like 200 and something years, and look, and now, and to show for it, They have you.
They have you. Shit-faced. Shit-faced. Telling an employee how much you're not shitting the floor this time and expecting a gold medal for it. But yeah, he's out there in the Boykin house. And Tommy's just like, oh, still in the, so you still got the teeth you found in the upper drawer, huh? These are my grandpa, Tommy Boykin's teeth.
And Shep is like, gosh, yeah, I went to Costa Rica and I did ayahuasca. I told you about it. Did you ever look it up on YouTube? You know what the internet is. Do we allow you to have the internet? Anyway, I'm just recalibrating now. I've had so many visions. Wow.
I love that Tommy's like, sure did. Sure looked it up on YouTube. Watched a lot of videos about ayahuasca. And Tommy's just probably Googled, you know, ayahuasca, how long does it take to kill a person? How much does one need to overdose on ayahuasca?
How do you get someone who's high on ayahuasca to pay you more? Tricks and tips.
Tommy is planning on killing his ass immediately.
So then Shep is like, yeah, what happened in Las Vegas was very sobering, no pun intended. So we see footage of him being wasted at BravoCon. And he's like, I was out of, at BravoCon, I was out of control. And the 9 other seasons of Southern Charm. But that's fine. We can focus on BravoCon.
Yeah. Yeah, ayahuasca's like 3 years of therapy in one day. So he's talking about how.
Just ask Jesse Lally.
Exactly. The other piece of shit man this year who's like, I'm really going to get in charge of myself by going to take drugs on a drug trip with a bunch of other dudes. And it really worked. Worked out great.
I think though, for Shep, he takes a different variant called Ayahuasca. It's for people of his.
I just saw visions of ascots. Paisleys. Stripes. It was crazy. Gosh.
I'm so much better at golf now. I had a real breakthrough.
I knew something had to change, so I went to Costa Rica for a psychedelic retreat. It was so powerful. And, you know, I've been back, and it's not perfect, because I've been doing things one way for so long. You can't just change it. Go to fucking rehab, bro. Like, when you're that blackout drunk and you're falling down, going to do drugs on a retreat. And I know people are going to get emails from people who are like, ayahuasca saved my son's life. Okay, great. I'm not saying it can't help. I've been a person who's been helped by psychedelics. I've had my life changed by psychedelics. Literally have. I'm not even making a joke. I can see the power in that. It does not make you sober. Okay. And it does not change your life to the degree where you're this fucked up of a person and an addict. And it's not just drinking every once in a while. It's drugs. It's drinking. It's everything else. You don't go to just go away for a drug retreat. And just because it's not coke, you're suddenly healed. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you could just do ayahuasca and be rich and be like, I'm fixed.
Yeah. In which case, why even bother getting sober? Like, stop even lying. Like, that's my thing about it. You know what I mean? I would appreciate it. There was someone in my family. I've told this story and named this person before, but I'm going to leave their name out of it this time because I've grown. But we asked her to stop drinking, and she was so offended. And we're like, you're literally drunk. You threw a bowl of soup at a restaurant last week. Like, you literally need to quit drinking. And so she did. She became miserable. This is normal because it takes a while to acclimate and get out of your system. But it lasted, I think, a week and a half, and she got so miserable, and she called a meeting, and she said, listen, everybody, I appreciate you guys caring, but I don't give a fuck. I have made it this far in life, and I've worked my whole life, and at this point I want to be drunk every day, and I'm gonna be. And if you guys don't like that, then you should never come over or call me again. And I was like, you know what? Respect. And to this day, no one has ever brought this up to this person again, because what are you going to do? And at least they respected it, you know? And Shep's not. He's going to just try and win all of this. He's putting a victim cloak on where he was drunk. He was in a bad place. So now he's a victim and everybody has to be nice to him. You don't get to do that when you're not making any changes, sir. Sorry. Victim cloak denied.
But luckily he has employees who have to tell him that he's changing, because Shep is like, I'm trying to be healthy, and Tommy's like, it's working. Oh yeah. Gosh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, employee, for telling me that my one night of ayahuasca has fixed all my sobriety.
Do you know how disappointed great granddaddy Boykin is up in hell heaven? just looking down on this or up at this and thinking, this little fucker, I worked 0 days in my life to afford this man a perfect life, and now he ain't even drinking every day?
I know.
Get out of my house, Boykin.
I didn't put whiskey in a barrel for 400 years and say, open this up on March 3rd, 2025, just to have my scion go sober. No siree.
Go hug a tree. Thanks, Obama.
Wow, I'm amazing that they already knew about Obama back then, but they did. They're like,
that's
I don't
his
know.
Ghost.
I
had... It's his
no,
ghost.
I think that like Boykin, Sir Boykin, was like, I just did some ayahuasca, and this is what I've got to say. Thanks, Obama. Don't know why I'm saying it, but I feel like it'll make sense at some point. Gets passed down generation after generation. Your great great grandpappy used to always say, thanks, Obama.
So now Shep's like, it's crazy because I'm healed, but Austin and Craig are mean to me. You know, they blew me off after Vegas when I needed them the most. And he's like, I need them to understand how much they hurt me. And this right there is why I'm pissed and why he's triggered me. Because nobody who's making an effort to heal themselves ever blames the people around them. When you're really making an effort to heal yourself, it's like, I fucked up, and how can I make this right with everybody that I fucked over when I was fucked up every single day and making them look like idiots on a national stage? But instead, he makes himself an idiot, which shows he's learned nothing and he's doing nothing. So don't fucking fall for it, people.
Yeah. Correct. Although I am.
Thanks. That's all I needed. You know what? That's what I want you to put on my gravestone. Correct.
Correct. Although this is what I always used to say about Kim Richards too, because remember Kim Richards would come out of like rehab.
That's true
and
too.
Be like, and she would get mad at people that they weren't there for her when she was.
That
like,
was true too.
A lunatic. Yeah. So either way, I am like darkly amused by this whole situation. Like Shep being a monster, and then like having like no concept as to why people just got so fed up that they just were like, you know what, go rot in a ditch somewhere. You're wasted. That's gonna be on you because we don't want to be dragged into your hell life
right.
anymore. And he's like, gosh, why didn't you want to be dragged into my hell life? I needed you in my hellhole. So I think it's kind of funny in my own dark way. But if in terms of like what you're saying, correct.
Yeah,
and
that's
one more
all
time.
I needed. Correct. Thank you. It's my favorite song. We should make a remix of that. Correct. So then we go back to Craig and Austin in the car, and Craig's like, I want to have a relationship with Shep again, mostly because we're shooting and like it's just the show's about us. So like we see each other in the gym and it's pretty surface level. And then so we cut to the gym, which is just all three guys seeing each other and like doing that high five, way high five, where it's really high because they're all tall. And then they just say, sup.
Which, by the way, no different than sup. It has been for the past 10 years on the show. But sure.
Sup.
I mean, it's not like what it used to be. And the question that I have for him is like, is this just what does he want? You know, like if he honestly wants to change, like we can be there for him to lean on. But like, I want clarity for him, you know, because like we're already like fucking split. But also, if he does have anything to say, like he needs to tell me everything and all the juicy details. Cause like Paige said, I have one job and one job only. Wait, she just said, stop saying this part on TV. And I'm still speaking. I am still speaking. What? Wait, now she's really mad at me. Oh, sorry. I was supposed to stop talking.
So then we go to Madison arriving at a clothing boutique. And, you know, it's one of those owners who's like, hello, darling. So good to see you. I haven't seen you in so long. What are we buying today? What friends are coming in? I've known you since you were a little baby. I can't wait to dress you again. Wow.
And she's like, so I'm throwing a party for the Carolina Cup. So I, you know, I have a Carolina Herrera dress, but I'm always open to other things. Get it? Carolina Cup, open Carolina Herrera dress. Okay, never mind. Anyway, give me a dress.
So is that the vibe we're going for? Because here's what I want to know. How do you want to feel? I care about what's inside Madison, okay? What do you want to see come out? What do you want to feel? Stacy's here for you, baby.
Corn.
I want to feel like corn.
Corn, still into corn. But this time we're going to be popcorn, big corn, huge corn. You're going to walk in there and people are going to say, who's the big corn walking in?
And then Madison's friend Molly walks in and she's, and Madison's like, oh my God, we look just like twins. And Molly's like, I know, right? Like, I'm like a giant twin. And
Stacey's like, oh my God, Molly, good to see you, darling. How's your mother? God, I've loved you since you were a baby. How you doing? Get over here and sit on my lap. You want to suck my breast? Get over here.
And Molly's like, oh, hi, Stacey. How are you? They do that like Southern. It cracks me up every time I see it. It's especially the ladies that do this to each other, and it just cracks me up. But they're like, oh, hi. They just scrunch their whole face up at each other and squint their eyes. And then Stacey goes back to normal immediately.
Yeah, and Stacey's also trying to, like, she's trying to flex in front of America. She's like, oh, you know what, Molly, you're so easy to dress because I've dressed you for so many shoots. So hear that. Christian What's-Her-Face from Project Runway. I do styling, too. So then Molly's like, yep, yeah, that's right, 12 years
Christian of dressing. Christian Cineramo.
12 years of dressing, 12 years of getting stuck in a hat that looks like it's from Blossom. Love that. Thanks, Stacey.
I love modeling in the South. Thanks, Stacey. Commercials. Here comes
one right now. Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like John Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
So Madison's like, Molly is one of my favorite people in the world. She's basically like a human version of corn. And she's a model. So I used to do her hair and makeup for shoes. She's funny. She's weird. But like in a good way. I love that. I love good weird. So they're making small talk and they love her new hair. She's like, I love your hair. Your mother said you're higher. Your hair is nuts. I'm throwing a party for your hair. I love it.
This is gonna be great hair for our next shoot because we've done so many shoots together, isn't that right, Christian Siriano? So Molly's like, yeah, I know, I'm healing from trauma from my last wave. So they're like looking for clothing and everything, and Madison is, she's like, oh, that would look real good on your butt, girl. She's like, oh my God, I know, people keep asking if I got a BBL. I'm like, no, I just gained 25 pounds. I'm like, I'm not sure if I see the BBL, but I'll let you have that one.
Yeah, I thought you meant the gaining 25 pounds, because I was like, can I please gain 25 pounds and look like that? Because,
oh yeah, and I don't,
what
see
a
that
stunner.
Either.
Oh my God.
I see none of the above.
Yeah, she has like young Jennifer Coolidge face. I really like her, by the way. I really automatically
seems like this girl. Good. Well, you know, it's so funny because she was so easy in front of the camera. And when she said she was a model, I was like, I guarantee she was on Top Model at some point, probably one of the later seasons. There's just something about her look that, like, and then she says in a few moments that she was on Top Model. So she probably got her like reality TV, like training wheels on with that show. And now she's like ready to go for Southern Charm.
Yes. So they're trying on clothes. And then we find out about Molly. And she, you know, she was on Top Model, as Ben said. And she's walked for Vivian Westwood. She shot for Vogue. But, and here's her big story. I have a thyroid problem. And it causes my weight to fluctuate. So in the past few years, I gained 45 pounds. And I lost a lot of modeling jobs. And that's a mindfuck. So we've got a model with the thyroid problem who's going up and down on her weight and so insecure that she's trying to date a 60-year-old. So this is why I am calling the police. Because when she mentions Whitney, which she does in just a second, and I'm sorry I couldn't wait to get there, I started yelling at the TV. Why? How has human resources not been brought to this show every single year? How many girls does this guy get to fuck to cast on the show? Like, what is the casting couch on the show, and why is it only okay to be on this show? It's annoying. It bugs me.
Yeah,
it's like yet another young female cast member brought onto this show dating Whitney. I can't.
I did not even think about that.
It started back in the day with little 18-year-old Catherine or whatever, who was dating Whitney on the show. It's like if this whole show is a casting couch for Whitney. How is H&R not there? Get over there.
We'll be on top of it. For some reason, HR just somehow has a blind spot for this entire show. So they're making some like small talk about boobs and everything like that. And then they finally settle down with some mimosas. And Molly's talking about how she's excited for the cup and everything. And Madison's like, so are you excited to see Craig? She's like, I mean, I'm not trying to flirt and steal him from Paige or anything. And Molly says that Craig and I have been flirty friends for a long time. And we used to sex each other and send each other naughty videos and stuff. I mean, I wasn't mad at it, you know? I mean, Craig's hot. He's hot.
Yeah. And Madison's like, okay, well, when's the last time you saw Whitney? And she just went over there and cooked him lamb shanks at his house. And
specific detail.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Isn't Whitney a vegan or something? Wasn't that his thing last year that he's like a vegan and he's always eating healthy? Or is it that he's always eating raw things? I don't know. He's on some diet.
All I know is that we told Randy to make some lamb shanks and he put a sneaker in the pan and nearly ruined the kitchen.
So she went to cook him lamb shanks at his house, which sounds not smart because I don't think he eats those. And Madison's like, girl, that's the key. That's the key right there. And she goes, yeah. So then why hasn't he wifed me up? Have you watched this show? What are you doing? It's like you're riding the ATV in Costa Rica. Like I know.
Have you seen his renob hat? What part of a renob hat says that you're going to get wiped up anytime soon?
So she's like, I just don't trust that he's actually ready to settle down. Girl, he's not going to settle down. Stop it. He's keeping that $100 million to himself. You all just need to go get a job. This is ridiculous. Stop debasing yourself for this man. Stop it.
Yeah. Madison's like, well, when he sees you dressed up in that girl, he might change his mind. I'm like, Madison, why are you saying these things? He is not. And I also hate the idea that, like, oh, if you dress sexy enough and pretty enough, then he may want to settle down with you. I hate, like, that's basically the undertone of saying something like that. And I know it's said not, like, sincerely, but it's kind of not sincerely, too. So, yeah, Whitney's not settling down, guys. He's not. Time to move on. Yeah.
And she's like, well, yeah, I know. Like, I'm 36. I mean, girl, the years of the people are getting divorced. People are getting divorced at that age now. So, like, there's, like, new men opening up. She's like, well, you know, they're going to go through that whole phase. You don't want no used man. You don't want them freshed out. Okay? And she's like, no, because I'm a jealous psycho. She goes, cheers to that, girl. Same. I'll be like, here's an air tag. Swallow it, because I'm going to track your ass for the rest of your life.
I love it. Here's an air tag. Swallow it.
It'll track you the rest of your life.
Oh, love that. So then we go to Shep and Austin arriving at the Boykin Farm, and they greet little Craig, who seems a little low energy and depressed. I'm not going to lie. What happened to little Craig? He's just sad.
Yeah, well, maybe because he hasn't seen his like girlfriend in forever. Whichever girlfriend he has these days, because he always has a girlfriend every season. So Shep is like, come on. Oh, your rooms are upstairs. And Craig's like, yeah, let's have some chips and salsa. They're going to have chips and salsa. So they all like settle in and everything. And Craig puts his dirty ass suitcase on the white linens and immediately gets dirt on the bed. And then it's just like, Craig is such a, I'm like, you have a linen company. I think he even reflects on that. He's like, I should know better.
Yeah.
To put a dirty bag on a white linens.
So Shep's like, my relationship with these guys, it's kept Charles up night and morning, mostly because I tell him, Charles, you better stay up night and morning worrying about this relationship. I'm exhausted. And then I go to sleep. God, it's nice being rich. Charles has felt a lot of anger and pain for me. Haven't you, Charles? Charles, get in the fetal position and rock back and forth, you lazy fucker.
He's like, my name's Tommy.
No, now you're Charles.
Sorry, Charles, Tommy. Gosh, no. I just have so much on my mind.
I had a vision. Your name is Charles all this time. Oh my God.
So Shep is like, hey, so guys, I want to talk to you because, you know, after Vegas, I was like, I think I'm a little out of control.
I, you know, after I tried to have sex with the Wheel of Fortune slot machine, I thought, maybe something's wrong. I don't know. I don't know what's going on internally, but if anyone could give some help, guidance, or support, you know, it's us, right? Like, that's what we do for each other. And you guys didn't do anything. You guys didn't yell at me. That hurt more than you'll ever know.
Victim, taking blame for nothing that you did. You fucking acted like an asshole for the last time, sir. It's called consequences. This should be an apology to them, not a victim. What is wrong with you?
Well, also him saying, if anyone can give help or guidance or support or harsh correction, he's basically saying, if anyone can give tough love, it's you guys. So why didn't you guys give me tough love? What part of them ditching you as friends was not tough love?
That's literally what it is.
Did you watch your reunion? They gave you all those things.
Yeah. And Craig's like, Craig, who also, you know, I'm glad to see that Craig's like taking care of himself and stuff. But, you know, Craig's also doing stuff where he's like, look, I'm going to have a non-alcoholic beer, which makes me like, oh, just drink. Like, who cares? Why is an announcement, you know? But this is that part where the partying friends are like trying to learn how to be together, where they're not just partying all the time. And it's hard. Sometimes you're like meeting each other for the first time, the real yous, you know? And
yeah,
it's not always great.
And the three of them are in a funky situation because Craig is now, he's pretty much sobering up because he has a catch, which is Paige, and he also has like a successful business, and he's smart. Craig is not the smartest guy, but he's smart enough to know that he should eliminate the thing that's most likely to ruin everything. So he's basically being thoughtful about how he should be living his life. Austin is just stuck in Austin land, but he is not yet a full-fledged alcoholic the way Shep is. So Austin just sort of I think he wants to keep the party going, but he's sort of like in the middle. And then Shep is just like a disaster, in desperate need of rehab. And so the three of them are in wildly different places, and it's gonna be strange to see and fascinating to see them like try to coexist as one group of like social friends.
So Craig's like, yeah, look, I mean, I hear you, that's fair, but the shit you did in Vegas, like, you got so fucked up and you chose to do that and you put yourself in that position. He's like, but then you came back and you like doubled down on it and nobody would talk to me. Yeah, babe, you did this to yourself. What can they say? And he won't. He just keeps on with the victim stuff. He's like, what do friends do? We used to talk all the time. And you fucked it up. You're like a nasty drunk.
You're a mean, nasty drunk. Like a rude, mean, nasty drunk. Why would people voluntarily put themselves in harm's way just because they're trying to help? They tried to help you. It's too late. It's over. Okay. This entire thing is so self-serving. I couldn't help but laugh. I was like, I cannot believe that this is his perspective. He comes away a new enlightened Shep. This is his takeaway, is like, why weren't you there for me to yell at you?
Like, and he didn't even stop drinking or anything. He's like, I'm a changed man. So now I drink a little less and I go to the gym more. Wow. That's life-changing shit right there, Shep. So he's like, come on, Craig. We've known each other for 10 years. And how many times have you put Craig down, tried to ruin his everything, his relationships, everything he's got going on over this 10 years? You've been nothing but destructive, sir. Okay? You are lucky you have this TV show, because that's the only reason you have any friends.
You affected my work.
My pillow work. Do you know that I tried to sew a circle pillow? That's how upset I was. It almost ruined my life.
Do you know Watching Shep try to walk a straight line really affected my desire to draw two square pillows because straight lines. Greg's like, I never shut the door on Shep until BravoCon, and he had come in, and like I instantly saw he was like a blacked out mess. I'm a business owner. I can't be associated with Shep's unhealthy behavior. I'm like, actually, you quite literally should be, because when he passes out, he's going to need a pillow. So
if anybody,
he's really an influencer. It's Shep. He's a great spokesman. Sleepsman for you.
He's a perfect model for you. Just always passed out.
Drool-proof pillows.
So then Shep's like, you've got to be kidding me. The litany of things that Craig has pulled over the years is quite extensive. I'm like, you can't even use a word without lit in it. Girl.
So now we get some of Craig's greatest hits for over the past many years. We see Shep telling Craig that they're worried about him, and Craig being like, yeah, no, I'm fine. Well, I just won't sleep for 3 days, and then I'll sleep for, 20 hours, but like, I'm fine. Craig, it's a good reminder that Craig had some pretty hardcore party days on this show.
Right, but those are past, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And especially when they're like 2014. You guys can't pull up 2014 things to use against each other. Now, then another one was 2021, where he got coked out at dinner and screamed at Naomi. but still, it's not the point. It's really not the point.
So Shep is like, for Craig to play the victim because of my actions, it doesn't really hit home for me. So I was like, Shep, dude, I mean, I didn't know if this was like you were being like real or this, but like, you just like wanted to make yourself seem cool. And Shep's like, I was on the ropes. Okay, yeah, but at that moment, I made a choice. And I was like, you need to set a fucking boundary right now. If this is going to be Shep's, behavior, I was setting a boundary, okay? And I also asked a girl out on a date, the final relationship. I'm like a grown-up now, Shep. Ugh.
I didn't know I was such a pariah. You are. You're an assaulty pariah, okay? According to the stories about you at BravoCon from the guests on the show. So he's like, I mean, this is all news to me. Sounds to me like you just don't see relationships the way I do. You see them with quadruple vision, okay? You can't see straight. And Craig's like, no, I just think you fucked up. And then I've heard of bad nights you've had since New York. And he's like, oh, what? Sorry, I'm not perfect.
Oh, okay. There he
is. Every trophy line, every single one.
So, like, what do you think? I'm like a masochist and I'm going to like keep sticking around.
Craig, this is Craig. Ring, 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 ring. Hello. Craig, you're stupid. Love you, babe.
Click. Craig. Wait, Craig. Did you tell Shep that you're not a masochist?
Yeah.
Okay, good job, chicken.
So, basically, he's staying strong, right? But Shep's like, I did mess up, but it hasn't been pretty. I'm not perfect. And he's like, okay, so why would I stick around? For years, I stuck around. And he's like, Craig, what do you mean? You're not doing me a favor. I'm not a charity. He's like, well, you're asking us to treat you like you are a charity. And he's like, no, I just want you to impart some of your journey. Here's their journey. Here's Craig's journey. Craig was fucking up. He almost got dumped and lost his entire life, and his business partner probably almost stopped working with him. And then he cleaned up to keep it all, and now he's still clean. That's his journey. Do it.
In the past year, I haven't been drinking, and it changed everything for me, and I'm happier and healthier, and my relationship is so much better.
Great job. Great job, Craig. I knew you could land that line.
Paige is just on the side, just typing out all his lines for the scene. So then we see a flashback, actually, of last week. Craig is talking to Paige, and he's like, I am where I am because I started to make a choice for my future self instead of my immediate self. And you were a huge part of that, chicken.
I was the biggest part. Yeah, I was the biggest part of that, stupid. Yeah, okay, the biggest part. I was the reason. I wasn't a part. I was the pie. I was the whole pie. God, I hate pie. Why am I talking about pie? Craig, don't ever bring up pie again. Okay,
I'll
chicken.
I'll never bring up pie, chicken.
What about
chicken pot pie? Am I allowed?
No, Craig.
No, that's
all
disgusting.
Pies.
What even is all that? Flour pie? It's disgusting. Put flour in the water and try to feed that to people? Where do you live?
I literally don't understand how people do things down in Charleston. Okay, get a salad.
I love Craig having this, like, this moment of introspection, but he ends it with the word chicken. Like, I realized that in order for me to succeed and for me to do well, I can't just think about what I want. I have to think about something larger, something bigger. I have to think about me and the people I love and the world around me, chicken.
Yeah, so they're Craig's like, I needed to take a step back. And he's like, yeah, well, I think it's just communication. They communicated very clearly with you. Okay. And he's like, even if that lunch was like, this is how we feel and we're going to take a step back. They literally told you that in front of America. I could have used that. You're using too much. That's the point.
I just want to clarify that I did need to take a step back, but that's only because I finally took a vaccine. So made me walk backwards. Wasn't anything about you, Shep.
So basically, Craig goes to the kitchen and he breaks a chair first. And he's like, I don't know what's up with me breaking chairs. Maybe because everywhere you go has 900-year-old chairs. Can we just get a chair?
That's true. So they go to the kitchen and Austin's like, wow, I'm definitely interested to hear what your journey's been. And that, by the way, tell me about your ayahuasca. They're like, you know, Austin can't say ayahuasca without like about at least half a cup of spit coming out of his mouth. That's just like not a word that's good for Austin's mouth.
Yeah. So Craig's like listening to them and kind of laughing because they're so ridiculous. And Sep's like, well, I know this is going to be raw. And then he goes pretty much as low as you can go to win somebody back. And he says that while he was on ayahuasca, I had a vision of you and your sister who passed away. So this is typical Shep going as low as possible to get what he wants. And then he said, I can't believe you would ever ignore me, especially after the whole thing with Taylor. I was just so angry and hurt. But then the situation with your sister, it was just so emotional, but also raw and painful. And then a bunch of empathy and tears started flowing out of me for you because it's just so unimaginable for me. And I guess that's why you were treating me like that because you lost your sister. I forgive you. Are you fucking kidding me? How Austin is so stupid that he doesn't get up there, get up and walk out of there right fucking now. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
And also, how dense is Shep to not realize how Austin's behavior is directly tied to that trauma in his life? I mean, we give shit to Austin all the time, but like, we also pretty much know that this thing, like this horrible tragedy in his life, has massively caused like arrested development for you know him. And so like for Shep to only just realize this now and then to be like, I forgive you right now, like it was wild. I couldn't believe it.
It's gross. It's pretty sad manipulation. And Austin's like, yeah, my therapist brings that up, you know, and she'll connect dots back to certain traumas in my life about it. And then Austin's basically like, well, you know, I'm glad he had a vision about me because we're friends. Deep down, we're still friends. And then Shep goes, yeah, and also I had a vision of Taylor, too. I was a bird, and so I took her into my nest, and I fed her, and I nourished her, and I wanted her to become this majestic bird. But then, instead of being a bird that flew out of the nest and soared, she kept flying into windows and hurting her neck. Bam! 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 And then some lady came out and said, hey, listen, I'm trying to do insurance here, stupid bird. Stop flowing in. Hey, bird, get a job.
I think that sounds like a pretty accurate representation of Taylor as a bird. I think this vision sounds like it was a real one. He's like, oh, and then I showed the bird The Vietnam War by Ken Burns, and all she kept on doing was trying to fly out the window. I was like, no, part five is where it gets really interesting.
Dude, I actually had a bird in my house, literally, that was flying into windows, exactly like you said.
Yeah, congratulations. It's called having windows.
You also banged Taylor, so I guess they're just both like, yeah, we're both getting signs that Taylor's a bird that keeps banging into our windows.
Meanwhile,
another child bird to torture for the next few years.
Broken bird prophecies. And then Craig's just listening in from the kitchen while he's still looking for salmon or something. He's like, these two are so fucking dumb. It's real brain trust over there. So now we cut over to Taylor, Molly, and Rodrigo and his boyfriend Tyler. They're getting on the bus to go to the Carolina Cup. And JT's there. And JT is like, well, me and Taylor, our relationship now is fine. I think a true simp move would be to sort of distance myself or be cold because, you know, I didn't get what I wanted because, you know, he was in love with her last year. And he's like, but no, I'm not doing that. It's just, it's awkward. We're just awkward.
So basically, Taylor's like, whatever, I don't care. He's not the first loser who's tried to bang me and not had a chance. So whatever, I'm going to be nice to him. So he comes on, they all tease him about his cane and stuff, and they make small talk and take the bus on, you know, take the party bus on the way out there. So Taylor's like, yeah, Gaston, they're asking Taylor about Gaston, and she's like, he's my better half. We started hanging out last summer, and he respects me like a human. Not just a pretty girl. Like, I'm not just a girl. I'm like a girl with, like, flavored soda water with alcohol in it.
Yeah, I'm sure that Gaston is really going to be a gold star winner for you. Can't wait. Can't wait. There will be no other shoe that will drop. None whatsoever. All the shoes are on. Tied on firmly. No shoes are dropping.
So then we go back to the farm, and Craig is FaceTiming Paige and showing his outfit off. And she's like, oh my God, you look like your name is Chet, and your dad's a real asshole.
She's like, that's a compliment, by the way. Okay, off to the Hamptons I go. So then we go back to the bus, and the bus has pulled over at a gas station because I guess JT has to pee. And then he comes back out, and he has bought a whole bunch of canes, walking canes, from the gas station because it's like funny. Since he has a cane, everyone's going to have a cane, and it'll be like hilarious because JT thought about this a week ahead of time and was like, this will be hilarious on TV. And it was just a natural, natural moment for us all to witness.
But unfortunately for this douche, when that happens, it's because someone's like, oh my God, you're sick with the cane? I bought us all canes because we're going to walk in solidarity with you. You don't do it for everybody else.
Yeah.
To be in solidarity. Like, you don't ask for solidarity.
And also, so like, sad. Having like a sprained knee is not a solidarity moment, I think, with people. I think like people be like, okay, well, here's a chair you can put your foot up. So he gets all these canes, and he's like, so I got three really long canes for the three boys, and I'm going to go up to Austin, and I'm going to say, hey, are we all okane? Sleep with it. And then the three boys can have their tall canes, and we can have our little canes, and then we'll have we could raise canes up, you know, and then we can be like, at Christmas time, I hope you get to enjoy lots of candy canes. And I'll be like, did you study economics? Did you enjoy that Keynesian economics?
I go on. So stupid. Nobody laughs. And, but I do laugh at the friends because they're like, wow, you're like a cane influencer. Someone's like, yeah, you should start at Only Canes.
Yeah.
So then now we go to the Carolina Cup and people are right.
Brett Madison comes. Chuck, wow. Look at that, Brett.
He's like, wow.
Yeah, it look at that. It's like a tray, but it's made out of strawberries. Ain't that gorgeous?
Wow.
Yeah, it's sunny out here, ain't it, Brett?
Yeah.
Wow, you're so handsome. You should talk less. Why aren't you talking?
Told me to.
Shut up.
Okay.
So then Madison's like, some of them are sitting around, and she's like, okay, let me drink out this bottle, okay, and I'll let you know. It's you know what a plop kiss would be if we became friends, Austin? And Austin's like, yeah, that'd be like me and JT becoming best friends.
He shows up in polka dot pants, which is really funny, and she's in a polka dot skirt. So he's like, whoa, we're twins.
And she's like, don't start making fun of his cane and all that stuff, okay?
He's like, I'm not. I'm just going to make fun of... I'm not going to make fun of someone's fucking injuries. Unless, you know, like, he provokes me. And then I'll do it.
She's like, well, what if he takes like, the cane and hits you?
And he's like, hits me with it?
I mean, I don't know. He did headbutt you, which was a pretty alpha move for a beta, okay? So I wouldn't put it past him.
So now the bus, they're talking about Austin too and how he has a girlfriend now. And Taylor's like, wait a minute, they're actually dating? And Rodrigo's like, oh yeah, we went to Hilton Head with Austin and Audrey. And that was last summer. And Leva's like, wait a minute, I'm Leva, and this is why I'm on the show. Last summer he was dating her? Well, I know a whole bunch of girls that said that they're dating Austin, and it's been between last summer and now. So, it's like, don't, Austin's still a cheater. What a shocker.
JT's like, hearing that Austin's still doing his dirty ass shit shirt in his new relationship, I want to shake him and be like, if you want to fuck around, just be upfront about it. And with Austin, I feel like honestly is just strictly an impossibility. Like Canes in a Goodwill store. I don't know. I gotta work on it.
I'd like him to be honest for once, but he just can't. So then we go to the Carolina Cup again, and Brett's like, wow, I looked it up. There's only two tracks in all the U.S. who don't do gambling. This is one of them. Craig's like, how do they even make any money here if they can't take bets? Madison's like, tickets. Stupid.
Hey, hold on a second. I'm going to call Paige. Hey, Paige. I just called Craig stupid. Good. Let me do it. Craig, you're stupid. Good job, girl. Miss you.
Thanks, chicken. So everyone is getting off the bus. Everyone is like, oh, this is nice. Everything, they like go into like a tent or something like that. And, you know, Taylor says she likes Austin's polka dots. And then Molly hugs Craig. He's like, Molly and I only knew each other online, so our sexting like didn't even count. And he says, we never even hooked up in person or anything, but it does feel, doesn't feel like weird. It's all like in the past. Paige thinks it's like so funny. Like, Paige, don't you think Molly's funny?
I want to kill her, Craig. I want to kill her. I want to put her head on a stick.
Haha. Yeah.
So now JT starts passing out canes, and everyone's kind of groaning because it's not great. And he's like, I'm going to get this over with. What's up, handsome kings? And he walks to the guys, and he's like, let's not mess around. Just get it over with. And Craig's like, dude, are you good? Are you good? And so he gives him canes. And he's like, after my near-death experience, I was a little harsh on you during the exorcism, Austin. But I'm happy as hell for you, brother, that you got a girlfriend. So I got something for you. A cane. Which is also taller than me, and I didn't realize that until I'm giving it to you right now, but still, hope you enjoy it.
Oh, what, you're not going to beat me with this? He's like, no, I'm not fighting with you. This is your cane, because you've turned over a new leaf, okay? Water under the Costa Rican bridge, because I was in Costa Rica where I got my injury. God, it's just like, I'm really just kind of taking over pop culture right now. I kind of get that feeling.
Did Shep go to Costa Rica for the ayahuasca?
I don't know where he went for the ayahuasca. He probably just went to Gwyn's. He's just rolling around in the men's section.
He's just under a freeway.
It's at Thomas Ravenel's house. So Austin's like, he's a fucking weirdo.
He went to Costa Rica and did ayahuasca. I just looked it up. Why is everybody going to Costa Rica?
It's the new Tulum. So JT's like, well, have a great day. Make some monies at the stables. All right, dogs. We're Shep. And Austin's like, what do you say that? Oh, sure. Okay, good stuff. I mean, JT, he's never going to be accepted by these guys. They just barely let him in. He's an outsider. He's not wealthy. He didn't do the genuflection that Craig did for years and years and years. And he's fucked it up.
He's also just a poser. Like, he comes in and he tries to start fights with people and chest bump them and bow at them just to have moments. And they're like, whatever, newbie. This is not your show. But nice try, buddy.
Yeah. So
Patricia and Whitney arrive. So Vanita sees that Birkin and she's like, that Birkin is 50 grand. And then Molly's like, who does Pat have with her? Is that Whitney's date? Great, I need a drink. And we see this pale little 20, what we find out is a 22-year-old that Whitney's brought along. The 56-year-old Whitney is brought along. Class.
Yeah.
Classy.
So Whitney's like, hey baby, how are you doing tonight? Huh? You've been great. You've been working out? Is this a walking stick? Like, what the hell? Oh, mother, did you see this walking stick? Oh. And Craig is like, JT gave them to everyone. We look ridiculous.
So Molly's like, so is that your date? And he's like, yeah, that's my date. And Molly's like, yeah, I had no idea he was bringing someone, but I mean, I don't really message him and ask him about every single thing that he does. So, And so she's telling Vanita, one minute he's like, have my babies, and the next minute he's out with a 22-year-old. Like, I mean, what the hell? Yeah, you're going to have his babies, and he will still be dating the 22-year-olds. What are you not understanding, Molly? Can someone bring her up to date?
Why does every woman want to date this toxic dump of a man? Not just Whitney, all of them. Every man.
Whitney's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, so I think that's the why on the Whitney. And he controls this show, so I mean, I can kind of get that one.
But I'm saying all the men, they're all just like toxic dump disasters. They're just, every single one of them has so much baggage, and Craig is the one who's shown the most promise. Maybe he's graduated from the toxic dump at this point. But between Austin, Shep, and Whitney, like, why? There's a big pool. Why do you keep going back to these three people?
And Molly's like, well, that girl seems nice, but she does seem kind of tired and low energy. She looks like she needs a B vitamin, for one thing. I mean, the girl is pale as hell. She looks like she's been out. She looks like a kitten that's been let out in the rain. Okay, can we just send the girl home, wherever that may be? Has she been trafficked? Where did they find this girl?
She looks like she was just breakdancing to Lana Del Rey or something. So Austin is like, well, I thought you said hey to Taylor. And she's like, no, gosh, I haven't. Should I go over there? I mean, have you said hey to everybody? No, I haven't. I've been having visions of saying hello, but I haven't done it actually in reality. Ha!
So Rodrigo's like, okay, say hi. Just don't be a fucking weirdo about it. He's like, oh, gosh, hi, Taylor. It's me, Shep. And she's like, oh, nice little rose, referring to a little pin on his suit. And he goes, I know, it's a double entendre. Is that too big of a word for you? Does anybody have a window pane that she can bang her head against? What? Sorry. Gosh.
I brought you some bird feed. What?
Oh, God, I forgot. We're not in my vision anymore.
So Vanita's like, I didn't know roses and thorns talk to each other. Okay. So then Shep is like,
I mean, she's trying, I guess.
I haven't seen you since December when I built a birdhouse for you.
She's like, I know.
I thought we might run into each other somewhere around town, or you might run into my window because you're a bird.
And he's like, I even texted you, and I think you, and she goes, oh, did you? He goes, yeah, I think you blocked me. She goes, oh, maybe. Yeah, I guess maybe. She goes, he's sorry. And then she tells us, yes, I blocked Shep. And he's like, I mean, it was a really nice text. Maybe you can read it sometime. She's like, yeah, I don't. And he goes, oh, okay, it's okay. Okay, then. Yeah, it's okay. So you're going to read it right now? I don't. Okay, fine. So you're unblocking me right now? I don't. Great, so I'm unblocked. Can't wait to text ya.
We actually have got a copy of the text, and it says, Taylor, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and I know I wasn't the best boyfriend to you, but in my moment of need, where were you? Why didn't you come have sex with me when I needed you most?
So Taylor's like, I don't need to have him in my life. I'm on this show now. I don't need him anymore. And now I have a new boyfriend to be with on this show. Sorry, storyline. You're over, sucker.
I found a new way to humiliate myself. I'm dating someone named Gaston. I no longer need Shep.
So he's like, okay, 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 good. Okay, good. Good to see ya.
Good to see you. I guess there's a chance, huh?
So she's like, yeah, I'm in a new relationship, so I'm going to respect those boundaries. Just leave us alone, please.
Dun, dun, dun. So now Madison, Brett, and JT are sitting on the couches, and Madison's like, so, little beta man, how long are we going to milk this cane thing for? It's getting real old. And he's like, oh, come on. He's like, let me email God real quick, and let me ask him, oh, aren't you happy I didn't die? And she's like,
I think all betas should die.
So now Molly's like, is that a raspberry macaron? Don't touch it. I'm a macaron whore. These are done well, and they're fresh. I love it. A model obsessed with food. I'm in. I'm into the storyline. Okay, so Madison goes to sit with Patricia, who is visited by a couple more gays. And then JT's like, oh, wait, is that Miss Pat? Oh, damn. I'm going to go over there. Hey, Miss Pat, I bought this cane for you. And she's like,
oh. Yeah. If you're going to do that, you've got to at least say, hey, Miss Pat, I've been giving everyone canes because I've got a cane. So here's one for you. Anyway, I basically was just saying Bad joke. Don't make jokes about canes to your elders.
Yes. And she's like, I'm genuinely offended. She's like, I'm genuinely offended. What's next? A wheelchair? And Vanita's like, yeah, you don't give a woman past a certain age a cane. Oh my God. I wish he had passed this through me like he does almost everything else. And Patricia's like, stupid gift. So
I'm just glad Georgette Massenberger wasn't here to see this.
She would have had the entirety of Poland turns against that little person.
So Patricia is not happy about this. It's very offensive. She's genuinely offended, and she's like, I'm going to go. So JT's like,
you know. But also it's funny that nobody in the cast was even like, oh my God, he's doing that because he gave everybody a cane because he has a cane. No one even tried to save him. They were just like, LOL, you idiot.
Just and he didn't try to save himself. Like he didn't. First of all, he should have been the first one to save himself. But second of all, no one tried to help him. No one tried to clarify. So she just is like, oh wow. So you're just giving me a cane because I'm old. Got it. Thanks. So he's like, no, you know, I'm not a mind reader, but there's some coldness in the air. I think maybe we're missing the point here a little bit. It definitely doesn't feel like Costa Rica. Am I right? That's a thing now, right? Right?
He's like, here's the thing about the South. Everyone can be huge, lovely, kissy, cheeky, but then that's just surface. And then there's layers beneath it. No, there's not layers beneath it. You were a fucking rude asshole, and she treated you like a rude asshole and walked away. What are you not understanding? No one's being fake with you here.
Yeah, and I guarantee this is going to lead to his downward spiral, which is like him being like, whoa, like everyone thinks I'm an asshole, and it was just a joke, and now everyone's accusing me of being an asshole. Well, you should have like made a better joke. If you have to explain your joke, then you made a bad joke.
Oh, yeah, we see that the entire season's plot for him is that he calls Patricia a bitch for this, and is called out on it, and starts spinning out of control, denying that he ever called her a bitch. That's his whole storyline for the whole season. That's some funny shit. So, yeah, that's basically what we happen. We see the coming months and everybody fighting and going crazy. And that's JT is not looking good for JT, you know?
Nope. But, you know, it's nice to have Southern Charm back. It's always a fun time. And
yeah,
you know,
get some rage out on douchebags.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fun times. Well, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. This was great. If you want to watch these on video, join us at Patreon. It's also where you will be finding all of our bonus episodes, including Sold on SLC, which is up now and will be the next few weeks on Patreon exclusively. Also, go get tickets for the Mass Hysteria Tour. We start in next month, really, in January. So it's coming right up. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get your tickets. That's also where you find tickets for the Golden Crappies, which are on Broadway this year at the Town Hall in New York City. So we are so excited for that. It's going to be big musical extravaganza. So plan on coming out there for that. And we love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas.
Jamie,
she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachelle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.